I find this billboard from Lowe's both clever and convicting all at the same time. Who does not have unfinished projects? And I personally think that unfinished projects are worse than the projects that you haven't even began yet. Because if you haven't began a project, you can convince yourself, yeah, I'm going to get after that next week. And then conveniently forget about it. It's all done. But if it's a project that you started and you haven't finished it, every time you walk by, you're reminded it's still there. Right? For instance, we moved into our second house in Iowa, made the decision, going to finish off the basement just like we did in the first house. I got down there with a fury. I was busy. I had conviction. I was going to get it done. And then, yeah, I kind of petered out. And then a week went by. And then a month went by. And then a year went by. I hadn't done a thing. Now, I could have easily just stayed above ground and pretended like it wasn't there, but that didn't work for me either, because every time I passed by the basement door, I knew that the project was unfinished. Today, we celebrate the ascension of Jesus, and it would be easy for us to convince ourselves that the mission of God is done. It's complete. Jesus lived among us. He died for us. He rose again. Sins forgiven. Salvation won. Finished. Except Jesus won't let us do that. And in fact, every time that you open up the Bible and you read it, you're convicted that it's still unfinished. The mission of God's church still goes on. The ascension of Jesus just marks a change in the action in that mission. You see, Jesus' mission continues. Jesus' mission continues even after he goes up into heaven. Now, first of all, let's be clear. His work on earth is complete. The work of salvation is done. It is complete. He lived among us. He was perfect in every way, unlike any other human being before him or since him. And though he was sinless, Scripture says that he took on all of mankind's sin. Although he was innocent, he was declared guilty for us upon the cross. And there he bled and he died. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," his work of salvation was complete. When he rose 3 days later to declare a victory, that victory is yours. There's nothing more for Jesus to do, and there's certainly nothing that we can do. Salvation is complete. His work on earth is complete. But now begins his work in heaven. We even get a hint of that at the very beginning of the book of Acts. So Luke writes the book of Acts. He wrote the Gospel of Luke. And then this is kind of like Luke part 2, right, which is the Acts of the Apostles. He says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach." There's continuous action there. He's alluding to the fact Jesus began, but he's not finished. Yes, his work on earth is finished, but the mission continues. Well, what is Jesus doing in heaven? Well, let's look to Scripture. St. Paul gives us a glimpse of what Jesus is doing in heaven. He writes to the church at Rome. Chapter 8, he says this of Jesus, "who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." So Jesus ascends into heaven, but he's still our advocate. In heaven, he's now our advocate. He's interceding with us, with the Father, reminding the Father that we are forgiven, reminding the Father that we are redeemed. This leads Paul to say that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our advocate, the one who is interceding for us in heaven. Jesus himself gives us a glimpse of what he's doing in heaven. If we go to John chapter 14, he's trying to comfort his disciples. He says this, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" Jesus says that when he goes up into heaven, he's getting it ready for us. Now, what does that look like? I don't know. It's heaven. But I think Jesus puts things into terms that we can understand. So he talks about a house in heaven, and he's preparing rooms for us. And when everything is done, when it's just the right time, then he's coming back so that we can be with him. In fact, the angels told the apostles that very thing. So in verse 11 it says, "This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go up into heaven." So Jesus' work continues. His work on earth is done, but he's up in heaven. He's interceding for us. He's our advocate up there. He's making preparations for us. He's getting everything set. And at the right time and at the right moment, he's coming back so that all of us can join him for an eternity. Jesus' mission continues, and our mission begins. His mission continues in heaven, but as he ascends into heaven, that triggers now our mission. Those of us still here on earth, our mission begins. You see, we were redeemed for a purpose. We were redeemed for God came and he lived for us and he died for us, but he did so for a purpose. We go back again to Scripture, this time looking at 2 Corinthians. Verse 17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." So in Jesus, we are a new creation. We've been redeemed, we've been forgiven, and now our lives are changed. We're a new person. I actually witnessed this last week when I was in Guatemala. I was in Guatemala looking at a new partner for us to do work down there, and I visited three different schools. And each school was at a different place with introducing with them a discipleship process, introducing them to Jesus and what he has done for them. In the second school, the discipleship process had been there since the beginning of the year. The teachers told us, the students are different. They're more respectful. They stand up just a little bit straighter. They pay more attention in class. And then we went to the third school, and this one's a private Christian school that's been in existence for 12 years. The kids that go to the school live in the city dump. You heard me right. They live in the city dump. I didn't go to the city dump. I'm not sure I could take it. They put them on buses, and they bring them to this school. You would never know these children live in the dump. They had bright, smiling faces. They had a spring in their step. They had joy in their heart. They were courteous. They were paying attention to us, happy that we were there. I went to chapel with them. You wouldn't have believed it. They overpowered the music in their singing. Even 13 and 14-year-old boys with hands raised high praising God. If you know anything about 13 and 14-year-old boys, they don't do that. That's the power of the gospel. That's the new creation that they have become. But it's not just them. It's us as well. We are a new creation in Christ. We have been changed. And now we have a purpose in our life. There's hundreds, thousands more, not only just in Guatemala, but in Chandler and Sun Lakes and Queen Creek and Gilbert and Mesa and Tempe and around the world that need to know the power of the gospel in their life. They need that transforming power. So they also become a new creation. So we're redeemed for a purpose because we're redeemed to be witnesses. We're redeemed to be witnesses. That's what Jesus tells us. Now, you've heard me say it before, but it's worth repeating. One does not choose to be or not be a witness. It doesn't work that way. If you see a crime happen, you are a witness, and you will tell the officer exactly what you saw and what you know. Nothing more, nothing less. If you happen to be there at the birth of a child, you'll give witness to the miracle that you saw in front of you, because that's what a witness does. A witness simply tells what they know to be true, what they have experienced. That's why I'm certain that Jesus was very, very clear, and he chose his words carefully when he said this to the disciples. "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will be. Right? It's not a choice. You can't choose to be or not be a witness. Right? you will be my witnesses. And then he gives us a strategy. So where are your spheres of influence? You start at home, Jerusalem, and then you go out from there, Judea, Samaria, and then you go out from there to the ends of the earth. So the disciples are to start in Jerusalem. That would be their sphere of influence. Among their fellow Jews, they could tell them that the Messiah has come and all that Jesus has done for them, that they're going to be received by them. For us, our Jerusalem is our community. So it's South Chandler, it's Sun Lakes, it's parts of Gilbert, even all the way out to Queen Creek. In other words, wherever you live, your friends and your neighbors around you, that's your sphere of influence. And you will be a witness to Jesus. Now, I'm not suggesting that this afternoon you pound on every door on your block and say, Jesus loves you. I don't really think that's effective, by the way. What I do know is effective is that when you live life with people, that God will open up opportunities for you to tell simply what you know to be true and what you have experienced. Oftentimes, those doors open at life-changing events, the birth of a child or a grandchild, a serious illness or even a death. Those are life-changing events that you can step in and simply tell what you know to be true, how you've experienced the power of God in your life, how God has comforted you, how God has given you strength when you didn't think you had it. See, that's what a witness does. What do you think we're building on the North property? So that we can be a witness to our community. This is the place where we have the most influence, where we can reach the most people effectively. We will be witnesses. But then it goes out from there. So then Jesus says to Judea and Samaria. Isn't it interesting that he says Samaria, by the way? Just a side note. If you might remember, Jews and Samaritans don't get along. They hate one another. And yet Jesus says, you're going to be my witness to the Samaritans. Well, how does that work? How is that a sphere of influence? Well, think about this. If someone who was your sworn enemy all of a sudden starts treating you with genuine compassion and love, wouldn't that make you curious? What's going on? All of a sudden, now you have some influence there. So now they're spreading out the circle, now to Judea and Samaria. Well, what does that mean for us? Well, I could be wrong. I believe that our Judea is Maricopa. I'm not saying they're Samaria, right? We like you just fine, Maricopa people. We love you, okay? But it is our Judea. What I mean is there's similarities in our communities. We have adult communities. We have young families, and we have winter residents. As I looked on in Maricopa, they have adult communities, they have young families, and they have winter residents. We can speak in to that community. We can reach out with the love of God there because they're similar to us. You see, the strategy that Jesus lays out will be witnesses to him, and then to the ends of the earth. Well, the ends of the earth for us are South Africa and Guatemala. In South Africa, we support COFA, Christian Outreach for Africa, a school that's been in existence now and is anything from infants all the way through high school. They're given a solid quality education in a Christian atmosphere. So knowledge and faith is poured into them, changing the community and changing the next generation. In Guatemala, coming this fall, every member of Risen Savior will have an opportunity to touch an individual child's life and to sponsor them and to give them what's necessary for their life and also for their eternal life. We can make that kind of a difference and change a life and change a community. If enough of us get together, change a country, because that's the power of the gospel, right? That's the witness that we'll be, because we've been redeemed for a purpose. Our work isn't done. When Jesus ascends into heaven, that doesn't mean we're finished. It's still unfinished. Jesus's mission continues, and so does ours. Amen. Would you please stand and pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and living among us and then dying for us. And we know that your work is complete and we have salvation, forgiveness in your name. But we also know that the mission continues. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit and give us the courage and the conviction to be your witnesses. It's in your name we pray. Amen.